بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 29th of January in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, we've completed the 7th week, the 49th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the incredible sword of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached the stage where I've now mentioned that he's been prepared now to deal with the proud Romans. So the next section is entitled, The Incredible Perilous March. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 608, Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 14, it is related. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu opened the Khalif's letter, and the letter read, Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. From the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Atiq ibn Abu Qahafa radiyallahu anhu, to Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu, Assalamu alaikum. I render praise unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save whom there is no God, and invoke blessings upon his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whom be the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace. Amma ba'd, to proceed. March until you reach the gatherings of the Muslims in Ash-Sham, who are now in a state of great anxiety. At this point, Khalid stopped reading the letter, radiyallahu, fearing that this now meant a demotion and that at last the pressure of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu against him had now borne fruit. Khalid thereupon muttered to himself radiyallahu anhu, this must be the work of that left-handed one. He must be envious of me for liberating Iraq. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 608. So stop in the report. So he's got the letter of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. And after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's told, you must now head towards Ash-Sham. So this, to him, he was thinking, radiyallahu anhu, that I've lost my command. Because I'm in Iraq, I'm the commander-in-chief. If he's asking me to go to Sham, the senior sahaba there, right? So he goes, it must be Umar. And he must be having some sort of envy with regards to me liberating Iraq. However, his fears soon turned to joy, because as he read on, Abu Bakr said, radiyallahu anhu, I appoint you as the commander over the armies of the Muslims and direct you now to engage the Romans. You shall be commander of Abu Ubaidah, radiyallahu anhu, and those with him. Go with speed and high purpose, O father of Suleiman. Complete your task with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be amongst those who strive for him. Divide your forces into two. Leave half with Muthanna, rahmatullah alayh, who shall be the commander in Iraq. Let no more go with you than stay with him. After victory, you shall return to Iraq and resume command. O Khalid, radiyallahu, let not pride enter your mind, for it will deceive and mislead you. And let there now be no delay. Lo, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all bounty, and he is the dispenser of rewards. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 608, Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 14. So the second part of the letter clearly showed he had not lost his command. In fact, he was given command over a greater company, Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu. But then Abu Bakr gave him a few specific commands. He says, you must leave half your force with Muthanna, i.e. the second in command in Iraq. And when you are victorious in Ash-Sham, you will return to Iraq. And he goes, don't let pride enter your mind. Meaning, this is all from the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus was Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu appointed the commander-in-chief of the Muslim forces now in Ash-Sham. As instructed, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu thereupon began to divide his blessed forces between himself and Muthanna rahmatullah alayh. However, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu, in the division of the forces, tried to keep all the companions of the Prophet for himself. To this Muthanna objected vehemently. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 605, he protested, "O commander, I insist on a total execution of Abu Bakr's command. I shall thus have half the companions also, for it is by their presence that I also hope to achieve further victories." So look how interesting. Khalid's got 8,000 for himself, but as if Muthanna would have noticed, all the Sahaba, he made sure he had, didn't leave a single one for Muthanna. He goes, "Hang on a minute." He goes, "Abu Bakr's at a half-half." He goes, "How do you think we're getting these victories?" And this is of course a famous hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, a time will come when you are doing jihad and you will ask, "Is there any companions amongst us?" I of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will say yes, and you will be given victory because of that companion. This is actually hadith according to the Sahih. So Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon reluctantly revised his decision. Having done this, Khalid radiallahu anhu was ready for the march to Ash-Sham. The mission given to Khalid was clear. He had to first move with full speed to Ash-Sham. Then upon arrival, take over the command until victory over the Romans is achieved. What route Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu would take to get to Ash-Sham was left entirely to him. Thus, this would be the most important immediate decision that Khalid had to take. So note, Abu Bakr didn't give him any details. He left it to him. He goes, "Your objective, defeat the Romans." So now the route left to him. He knew that the Muslim forces were in the general area of Busra and Al-Jabia, both located in the present-day southern border of Syria. And he thus had to get there fast. There were thus two well-known routes available to Khalid radiallahu anhu. One was long, but it was safe. The other was shorter, but he would have to encounter a Roman force on the way, which he could easily defeat. But this would also naturally delay to his ordered destination. So he had a problem. The Muslim forces were in southern border of Syria, Busra and Jabia. He had to get there quick. One would take too long, the safe route. The other route, quicker, but it'd be delayed by a Roman garrison. So he was thinking, is there an alternate route? Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thus held a council of war. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 603, he said, "How can we find a route to Syria by which we avoid the front of the Romans? For they will certainly try to prevent us from going to the aid of our brothers." His officers were baffled. They replied, "We know of no other way." So they looked at each other. He goes, "Look, O commander, you know the area just as well as us." He goes, "We haven't got any idea how to go apart from the two well-known routes." The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, however, determined to find another route. He asked again. None responded, except one noted warrior by the name of Rafi ibn Umayra At-Tayyib, rahmatullah alayh. So there was one, quite young, and some say he was a companion, but the majority say he was a tabi'in. He was from the famous tribe of Adi ibn Hatim, Banu Tayyib. Rafi, he's I know a route. He then mentioned the shortest route, but it would mean going through the desert, and thus one full of pitfalls and perils. Rafi, he said, rahmatullah alayh, "You cannot take this route with an army. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even a lone traveler would attempt it at the risk of his life. It involves 5 days of extreme hardship without a drop of water, and the ever-present danger of losing the way, O commander." This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 609. So Rafi said, there is a route. It's a 5-day journey. We have to go through the desert. Even if one of us attempted that route, we're risking our life. So for an army, I don't think This is just something that went through my mind. I don't think it's feasible for an entire army. All the Mujahideen nodded in agreement, thinking this to be certainly not a plan worth considering. But subhanAllah, Sayyidina Khalid's eyes lit up. He said, "This shall indeed be the very route we shall take." He thereupon turned to his alarmed officers and said, "Let not your resolve be weakened. Know that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arrives according to your deserts. Thus, let not the Muslims fear anything, just as long as they have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." This is in Tabri in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 609. So imagine everybody goes, "Yeah, forget it. Thank you for your suggestion, Rafi." Only Khalid goes, "That's it." And then obviously everybody's alarmed, thinking, 5-day journey through a desert. Is he being serious? And he goes, "Don't worry, Allah Ta'ala's help is with us." The effect of his words were instantaneous. With one voice, the officers replied, "You are indeed a man whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed his goodwill. Do as you see fit, O commander. We are all behind you." This is in Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 609. So look how obedient they were. They goes, "You're definitely being helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you suggest, we'll do it." The army of Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu thus set about its preparations for the march to Syria on a route through Badiyat al-Sham, i.e. the Syrian desert, which covers western Iraq, the southeast of Syria, the northeast of Jordan, and northern Arabia, that no army had traveled before, and which was known only to one man, Rafi ibn Umayra. So this is a desert. So the Sahara Desert is famous. This desert is called Badiyat Sham, the Syrian desert. But it actually covers 4 modern geographical locations: western Iraq, southeast of Syria, northeast of Jordan, northern Arabia. So from that you realize it's a huge desert. That's what they were going to go through. Who was the only one who knew the track? Rafi. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu thus marched out from Al-Hira with an army of 9,000 men. Imagine, 9,000. No women and children naturally accompanied the army. They were left behind under Khalid's orders for dispatch to Al-Madina, where they would remain until it was convenient for them to move to Syria. So obviously even Khalid wouldn't put women and children to this. He goes, "Look, go to the city of the Prophet ﷺ, and then when it's safe, we'll call you." For the night, the army camped at Quraqir, i.e. western Iraq, and filled its water skins and other containers with supplies of water that were expected to last the men and animal for the anticipated 5 days' travel of around 200 plus miles. Some say 300 miles. So they prepared as much water as they could for the arduous trek. Early next morning, as the perilous march was about to start, Rafi rahmatullahi once again approached Khalid radiyallahu anhu, now seeming uncertain of himself. In Tabri in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 609, he said, "O commander radiyallahu anhu, you cannot traverse this desert with an entire army. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even a lone traveler would attempt this journey only at the risk of his life." Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu now turned to him angrily and said, "Woe to you, O Rafi, rahmatullah alayh. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I knew of another route to arrive at Syria quickly, I would now surely have taken it. Proceed thus as ordered." So in this report, Rafi, obviously, everything's on his shoulders. He's thinking, all the army is... So he approached again, you know, respectfully. He said, "Amir, look, one person is dangerous, 9,000 men." And what did Khalid say? Because he got, why? Because mashal has been done. There's no consultations after consultations. He goes, "If there was another route, don't you think I would have taken it?" He goes, "Proceed." Rafi rahmatullah alayh thus proceeded as ordered, and led Khalid radiyallahu anhu's army of 9,000 men into the inhospitable desert. Imagine. Right? You see, 9,000, where are you going? Through desert. As usual, the men rode on camels whilst the horses were led. To make matters worse, it was the month of June, when the sun was beating at its most merciless upon the sands, and with it destroying all traces of life, and daring man to set foot on the tortured, waterless waste. June. Now, if you know anything about the desert, if you stand on the desert sand, your feet literally will start melting. You have to keep moving. Because the heat of the sun absorbs the heat. So the sand becomes 60 degrees, 65 degrees centigrade. You can cook an egg on it. Even the sand lizards, if you watch the programs that discuss these desert lizards, they scamper over the surface. They don't even stay in one place. Why? Because they'll get roasted. Ants would get roasted if they don't get back to their den quick enough. So in that condition, 9,000 human beings are weak. Imagine. Radiyallahu ta'ala. These indeed were the magnificent standard bearers of Islam, the courageous warriors of the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, setting out to perform one of the greatest, if not the greatest, military feats in the history of mankind. Now this is the tragedy. You ask people, any great military feats? Hannibal. What, in 18? No, not him. Right? Hannibal and the Alps. He made elephants go around the Alps. Yeah, very good, yeah. It was a military feat. And he gave him some credit. Any other military feats? And they start mentioning Muslims, mashallah. Constantinople, how it was taken by Sultan Fatih. Rahmatullah. Fantastic. Why is it this isn't mentioned? Because we've lost our history. Even if you tell a person 9,000 men is an army, because it certainly is an army, they're going to go through 5 days' journey through a desert, mid-June. Well, the SAS lost their way and they died. I don't know about 9,000 men. Well, there you go, right? And this was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, move in military history. The first 3 unrelenting heat-soaked days passed uneventfully. Naturally, despite the intense hardships, the obligatory prayers were still offered. But with tayammum, i.e. dry ablution, for water was naturally scarce and could only be used for consumption. Subhanallah. Indeed, a lesson for one and all who missed their obligatory prayers under the most flimsiest of excuses. Imagine. Probably lives, searing, no moisture at all. Time for salat. They didn't say, can we combine it? Right? Or maybe it's a bit hot. Can we delay it? Right? They just got on with it. Right? Salat is salat. But they did tayyib. And look at this. Miss Fajr, why? Didn't hear alarm clock. Imagine it, right? And you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, those days they were offering salat. The men though steadily traversed the barren tract and were naturally oppressed by the intense heat and glare, but they were all used to hardship, and as long as there was water, all was well. In addition, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his element and with boundless energy, was constantly seen encouraging the rest of the blessed Mujahideen. Thus his blessed words would revive them as giving them a second wind. Don't forget, Khalid was blessed. He was in Firdaus when he's enjoying jihad. So literally, it's hell in terms of heat. He's in paradise. So he's going around telling everybody, hey, Alhamdulillah, imagine. You think, our commander, he gives that second wind to everybody. So he's going around encouraging everybody. However, subhanallah, the water which was meant to last 5 days, finished by the end of the third. They're stuck in the desert now, and they've got 2 days left without any water. It is related that on the fourth day, they were then forced to slaughter a few camels, which they could literally spare to extract some water which it had stored. They were that desperate. it would be just like the campaign of Tabuk, just 4 short years earlier, in which it is related that Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Akil said, rahmatullah alayh, there were 2 and 3 to a single camel. They traveled at the time of severe heat, and thus eventually began slaughtering their camels to split open their stomachs to drink the liquid inside them. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 4, page 10 of the English translation. So that was the training. Remember I mentioned this. Why do you think Allah Ta'ala told them to go to Tabuk? This was the training of Khalid. He's been through it, radiyallahu. And what were they doing in Tabuk? They slaughtered camels. So Khalid remembered this. He goes, you know, if you're desperate, let's slaughter camels. Silently, the column resumed the march on the 4th day. The unrelenting heat now seemed even more intense. Conversations now abruptly stopped, for the brave men could only think of water and the horrors of getting lost in the desert and thus dying of thirst. That night, the men camped as usual, but there was no sleep. With the agony of fire in their throats and their tongues swollen in their mouths, they could only repeat in their minds the following verse. In Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 173. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what an excellent protector is He. Subhanallah. That's all they were saying. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what an excellent protector is He. About this verse, this very interesting narration, in Sahih Bukhari, number 4563, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhuma, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam recited this when he was flung into the fire. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it when the people said to him, the people have united against you. I.e. the unholy allies planning to attack Al-Madinah and to destroy Islam. So look how amazing. Ibn Abbas said, this verse was actually uttered by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when they were going to throw him into the fire. They created, you know, they made a huge fire and even birds were not able to go across it. So they made a kind of a swing for him. And then Allah Ta'ala, basically, the angels wanted to help Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The angel of the rain said, let me help him. So Allah Ta'ala gave permission. So the angel of rain goes, O friend of Allah, O Khalilullah alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm at your disposal. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, I only need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Then Jibreel comes. I'm at your disposal. I only need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as he was flung, he then recited this. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What an excellent protector. And what happened? He was protected. Then Ibn Abbas said, when the allies come to destroy Medina, the Prophet said the same verse. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look how beautiful. In the perilous march, the Mujahideen were reciting this verse. As if they were saying, Ya Allah, you help your Khalil in the fire. We're in the fire. Help us. And you help your beloved when they were coming to attack and destroy the city. And this is why this verse should be recited when you're in a predicament. People ask stupid questions. How many times? You think Mujahideen are going to say how many times? Right? You keep reciting it. What do you keep asking about numbers for? Subhanallah. It was now the destined 5th day. Mile after weary mile, the column trudged in silence, tortured by the pitiless glare and heat. By the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day's march was thus somehow completed and the men survived, though most of them had by now reached the limits of human endurance. The column was now no longer a neat, orderly formation as it had been at the beginning of the march. Many of the warriors were now struggling at the rear of the column. At the head of the column, as the head of the column reached the anticipated area where the spring was supposed to be, there was a serious problem. Rafi, rahmatullah alayh, the guide could no longer see, become blind. So Rafi told them, on the fifth day, after you've completed 5 days, the next day, there's a place. There's water there. Rafi has become blind. The only one who knew where it was. He had been suffering from ophthalmia, and the blinding glare of the sun had further worsened the condition of his eyes. When you go to do Hajj and Umrah, always take sunglasses. I told the brother that, he didn't listen to me. Next minute he was doing this. I was going to Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I had my glasses, and I saw him, and he goes, you were right. I go, mashallah, right? Because the sun's glare, it just bounces, especially with this, you know, white marble everywhere. Well, in the desert, you can imagine. So Rafi rahmatullah alayh, he's got some blindness. The men were horrified, and they pleaded with him, "Oh Rafi, we are at the point of death. Where is the water you promised us?" But Rafi could no longer see. In a voice which was now no more than a mere whisper, he simply uttered, "Look for the two sand dunes like the breasts of a woman." Soon the sand dunes were mercifully spotted. Rafi was informed. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thereupon whispered again, "Now look for a thorn tree shaped like a man in a sitting position." Look how he's describing it. He says, "Look for the thorn tree that's like a man sitting in a sitting position." A few of the strongest men thereupon rode out, scanned the area, and returned stating, "There is nothing to be seen." Rafi thereupon said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Then we are doomed. But look again. The men then desperately looked again. And this time, subhanallah, they found the trunk of a thorn tree of which the remainder had vanished. I.e., thus the description which Rafi had given of a tree shaped like a man in a sitting position no longer applied. Hence the difficulty in his location. So he was telling the truth. Well, half of it had fallen. That's why they found it the second time. Rafi thereupon said, "Alhamdulillah, quickly dig under its roots." The exhausted men then dug with the remaining ounces of their strength. And Allahu Akbar, water flowed out of the earth like a river. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 609. Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 14. Allahu Akbar. Think about that. The grateful men thereupon drank to their fill, all the while praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invoking blessings on Rafi rahmatullah alayh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah ta'ala does not accept thanks to him if you don't thank the one who's helped you." So Rafi had to be thanked. So if all the mujahideen said, "Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah," Allah not accepting it. So they had to praise Rafi. May Allah reward you as well. Jazakallah khair. Hundreds of men thereupon filled their water skins and thereupon rushed back on the route of which they had traversed, looking for stragglers of whom there were many. Allahu Akbar. Not a single soul had lost his life on the incredible perilous journey. Imagine, 9,000 men. It had never been done before. And indeed, one can safely say, would never be done again. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anh had thus reached the borders of southern Syria by bypassing the Roman frontier and his garrisons in Iraq. So now they were in real, real danger. They didn't know until after. Subhanallah, the real extent of the peril which they now faced was not known to anyone except Rafi, who finally whispered to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh, "O commander, I have only alighted at this spring once, that was 30 years ago, when as a boy I had travelled hither with my father." This is Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 609. Imagine, Khalid must have thought, because you travelled here once, when you was a boy, and you made us, he didn't say anything. That was the memory of Rafi, rahmatullah. A soldier who had taken part in this perilous march summed up the scenario in the following verse. It wasn't Ka'ka. Ka'ka wasn't here now. There's another one took his place. In Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 10. Allah the Almighty blessed the eyes of Rafi. How did he succeed in finding the way from Qalaqir, western Iraq, to Nawah, where they were presently located in southern Syria? 5 days it had marched when the army wept. No human ever made such a journey before. SubhanAllah. So this was poetry. Basically, may Allah bless Rafi. He goes, give him the highest grades in paradise. He goes, how did he do it? How did he know? And this was the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was one of the greatest military feats in human history, if not the greatest. And guess what? You ask Muslims, never even heard of it. Forget that, who's Khalid? Oh my God, who's Khalid? Right? So forget about this campaign, brother. And why they're going through a desert. Then they start asking all these other questions. Well, you should learn about their lives. Right? And the whole point was to help their brothers in Asham. And the Romans, obviously, they knew there was a route through the desert. Nobody's going to go through there. Well, guess what? They did. 9,000 of them. Imagine. SubhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically the blessed, incredible, perilous march, which was taken by the sword of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessed Mujahideen, and some of the great lessons that we can take from this incredible journey. And this was how Khalid arrived at the in the domain of the Romans through this incredible, you know, entrance. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من شدان سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم